Judges 4 and 5. After Ehud died, the Israelites once again did evil in the eyes of the Lord. So the Lord sold them into the hands of Jabin, the king of Canaan, who reigned in Hazor. The commander of his army was Sisera, who lived in Harosheth Hagoyim. Because he had 900 iron chariots and had cruelly oppressed the Israelites for 20 years, they cried to the Lord for help. Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, was leading Israel at that time. She held court under the palm of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim, and the Israelites came to her to have their disputes decided. She sent for Barak, son of Abinoam, from Kedesh in Naphtali, and said to him, "The Lord, the God of Israel, commands you, go, take with you 10,000 men of Naphtali and Zebulun, and lead the way to Mount Tabor. I will lure Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his troops to the Kishon River and give him into your hands." Barak said to her, "If you go with me, I will go, but if you don't go with me, I won't go." "Very well," Deborah said, "I will go with you. But because of the way you are going about this, the honor will not be yours, for the Lord will hand Sisera over to a woman." So Deborah went with Barak to Kedesh, where he summoned Zebulun and Naphtali. 10,000 men followed him, and Deborah also went with him. Now Heber the Kenite had left the other Kenites, the descendants of Hobab, Moses' brother-in-law, and pitched his tents by the great tree and Za'anatnim near Kedesh. When they told Sisera that Barak, son of Abinoam, had gone up to Mount Tabor, Sisera gathered together his 900 iron chariots and all the men with him from Harosheth Hagoyim to the Kishon River. Then Deborah said to Barak, "Go, this is the day the Lord has given Sisera into your hands. Has not the Lord gone ahead of you?" So Barak went down Mount Tabor, followed by 10,000 men. At Barak's advance, the Lord routed Sisera and all his chariots and army by the sword, and Sisera abandoned his chariot and fled on foot. But Barak pursued the chariots and army as far as Harosheth Hagoyim. All the troops of Sisera fell by the sword, not a man was left. Sisera, however, fled on foot to the tent of Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite, because there were friendly relations between Jabin, king of Hazor, and the clan of Heber the Kenite. Jael went out to meet Sisera and said to him, "Come, my lord, come right in, don't be afraid." So he entered her tent, and she put a covering over him. "I'm thirsty," he said, "please give me some water." She opened a skin of milk, gave him a drink, and covered him up. "Stand in the doorway of the tent," he told her. "If someone comes by and asks you, is anyone here, say no." But Jael, Heber's wife, picked up a tent peg and a hammer and went quietly to him while he lay fast asleep, exhausted. She drove the peg through his temple into the ground, and he died. Barak came by in pursuit of Sisera, and Jael went out to meet him. "Come," she said, "I will show you the man you're looking for." So he went in with her, and there lay Sisera with the tent peg through his temple, dead. On that day, God subdued Jabin, the Canaanite king, before the Israelites, and the hand of the Israelites grew stronger and stronger against Jabin, the Canaanite king, until they destroyed him. On that day, Deborah and Barak, son of Abinoam, sang this song. "When the princes in Israel take the lead, when the people willingly offer themselves, praise the Lord. Hear this, you kings, listen, you rulers. I will sing to the Lord, I will sing, I will make music to the Lord, the God of Israel. O Lord, when you went out from Seir, when you marched from the land of Edom, the earth shook, the heavens poured, the clouds poured down water. The mountains quaked before the Lord, the one of Sinai, before the Lord, the God of Israel. In the days of Shamgar, son of Anath, in the days of Jael, the roads were abandoned. Travelers took to winding paths. Village life in Israel ceased until I, Deborah, arose a mother in Israel. When they chose new gods, war came to the city gates, and not a shield or spear was seen among 40,000 in Israel. My heart is with Israel's princes, with the willing volunteers among the people. Praise the Lord. You who ride on white donkeys, sitting on your saddle blankets, and you who walk along the road, consider the voice of the singers at the watering places. They recite the righteous acts of the Lord, the righteous acts of his warriors in Israel. Then the people of the Lord went down to the city gates. Wake up, Deborah. Wake up, break out in song. Arise, O Barak. Take captive your captives, O son of Abinoam. Then the men who were left came down to the nobles. The people of the Lord came to me with the mighty. Some came from Ephraim, whose roots were in Amalek. Benjamin was with the people who followed you. From Machir, captains came down. From Zebulun, those who bear a commander's staff. The princes of Issachar were with Deborah. Yes, Issachar was with Barak, rushing after him into the valley. In the districts of Reuben, there was much searching of heart. Why did you stay among the campfires to hear the whistling for the flocks? In the district of Reuben, there was much searching of heart. Gilead stayed beyond the Jordan. And Dan, why did he linger by the ships? Asher remained on the coast and stayed in his coves. The people of Zebulun risked their very lives. So did Naphtali on the heights of the field. Kings came, they fought. The kings of Canaan fought at Taanach by the waters of Megiddo. But they carried off no silver, no plunder. From the heavens, the stars fought. From their courses, they fought against Sisera. The river Kishon swept them away. The age-old river, the river Kishon. March on, my soul, be strong. Then thunder the horse's hoofs. Galloping, galloping go his mighty steeds. Curse Meroz, said the angel of the Lord. Curse its people bitterly because they did not come to help the Lord, to help the Lord against the mighty. Most blessed of women be Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite. Most blessed of tent-dwelling women. He asked for water, and she gave him milk. In a bowl fit for nobles, she brought him curdled milk. Her hand reached for the tent peg, her right hand for the workman's hammer. She struck Sisera. She crushed his head. She shattered and pierced his temple. At her feet he sank. He fell. There he lay. At her feet he sank. He fell. Where he sank, there he fell. Dead. Through the window peered Sisera's mother. Behind the lattice, she cried out, why is his chariot so long in coming? Why is the clatter of his chariots delayed? The wisest of her ladies answer her. Indeed, she keeps saying to herself, are they not finding and dividing the spoils? A girl or two for each man? Colourful garments as plunder for Sisera? Colourful garments embroidered, highly embroidered garments for my neck. All this as plunder. So may all your enemies perish, O Lord. But may they who love you be like the sun when it rises in its strength. Then the land had peace for 40 years.
Father, we thank you that all scripture is breathed out by you, by the Spirit, and makes us wise for salvation and teaches us how to live for you. So Lord, by faith we come to this section of your word, and ask that you would use this word which you have given to us to work powerfully amongst us, that we might be built up and that you might be glorified. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Well, this morning we're continuing our series in the book of Judges, and we're going to be thinking about chapters 4 and 5. And just to remind you that in Judges, we, through these middle chapters, find ourselves going through a cycle. The A, B, C, D, E cycle, as we thought about last week. Israel apostatizes A. She is judged by God and put under bondage, into slavery, or oppressed at least. That's the B. She cries out, that's the C, to God. God in his mercy delivers, and then Israel is back at ease, at peace again. And so we see that cycle again in these chapters here. God delivers Israel this time over to King Jabin and his general Sisera. And then they will cry out and there will be deliverance as Deborah and Barak and Jael are in on the action. And in these two chapters, and they very much stand together, we have a story and we have a song. Chapter 4 is the story. It's the narrative, and chapter 5 is the song. It's the victory story and the victory song. And the story, of course, describes how victory is given over the given to Israel over the Canaanites. They've been ruled by Jabin and his expert general, Sisera. But what we need to do, of course, as we come to these various judges' stories, we have to ask the question, what is the text drawing our attention to? What's different about this one? You've got Ehud on coming before and Eglon, and we've got Gideon coming after. What is the emphasis
of this particular judge story? What is the text? The Bible stories are put together very, very carefully. And they're put together so drawing our attention to kind of aspects of the story as it seeks to teach us lessons. And to help us to see what's going on, I think it's best to work through this story and this song by asking a question. Who is the hero? Who is the hero of this story? Well, we know very clearly, don't we, who the enemy is. It is the King Jabin and his general, Sisera. Sisera commands 900 chariots. We're not talking about a big region. That was enough serious, superior military hardware to be able to keep everything under control of Jabin and Sisera. Chariots, of course, would be the equivalent to panzer tanks up against infantry. A chariot was able, of course, to charge into any foot soldiers and smash them to bits. And once they started to run, was able to chase after them and to mow them down. Very, very powerful weapon in an ancient culture, particularly on the flat plains where they were operating. And Jabin and Sisera in particular have Israel under a particularly unpleasant regime. We get some hints at that in the song in chapter 5. If you have a look at verses 6, 7 and 8. In the days, 5, 6, in the days of Shamgar, son of Anath, in the days of Jael, the roads were abandoned, travelers took to the winding paths. So dangerous was the area that you couldn't travel by the main roads. And look at the beginning of verse 7. Village life in Israel ceased. The whole kind of fabric of society was being destroyed. You'll see in the next verse about how they were no longer armed. And if you have any sympathy whatsoever left for Sisera in this story, then just come to the end of chapter 5 and think about what his mother has to say about him as they wait anxiously for his return, although we know he is dead. Verse 29, the wisest of her ladies, this is speaking to Sisera's mother in her anxiety, answer her, indeed, she keeps saying to herself, are they not finding and dividing the spoils, a girl or two for each man, colorful garments as plunder for Sisera? You can see the way this general is operated. It's not a girl or two in the original, it's a womb or two. Kind of just cheap exploitation, the rape and the pillage that often go with military campaigns. Sisera was a thoroughly violent, exploitative, vicious general. And here we see him oppressing Israel. Well, Israel are delivered. Who is the hero? Who brings about this deliverance? Well, we have three candidates, don't we? Let's look at them. Firstly, there is Deborah, there at the beginning of chapter 4. She's clearly been raised up by God and is a great woman. She is, in some sense, leading Israel there in verse 4. She's a prophet. And she does this wonderful thing of helping with the disputes within Israel. You would think Israel didn't have enough problems with Jabin and Sisera, but also they're fighting amongst themselves, disputes amongst themselves. And they come to her and she sorts out those disputes and helps them with those. But it's not her, of course, who will be the hero. She will not go into battle. She will not destroy Sisera or Jabin. She will just be the person who speaks God's word and says who is to do it. So let's look at our second candidate, who of course is Barak. There in verses 6 and 7. She sent for Barak, son of Amiel and Kedesh, from Kedesh in Naphtali, and said to him, the Lord, the God of Israel, commands you, go take your 10,000 men from
Naphtali and Zebulun will lead them to Mount Tabor. I will lure Sisera, says the Lord, that is the Lord speaking. I will lure Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, with his chariot and his troops to the Kishon River and give him into your hands. Barak, you can be the hero. You are the one that is being set up to get the honor to be the great rescuing judge here. God is happy to deliver Sisera right into your hands. Remember in the previous story, Ehud had killed Eglon. Killing the leader is very significant here. But Barak puts up conditions, doesn't he? If you go with me, I will go. But if you don't go with me, I won't go. In other words, whoa, hang on here. Conditions. And Deborah comes back in him, doesn't she? Very well, Deborah said. I will go with you, but because of the way you are going about this, the honor will not be yours. In other words, you're not going to be the hero. You're not going to get the glory. A woman will kill Sisera. That is not to say that the woman will be the hero, but it won't. The honor won't be yours, Barak. You won't have the hero status. Let's meet our third candidate. Deborah does, of course, hold Barak's hand. And they go up north and they head towards the battlefield. They call down the troops and they go into battle against Sisera. And there's a great victory, isn't there? If I've got the geography right, most of Sisera's armies begin to flee west. But Sisera makes off in a different direction, heading north to an area where there were families and tribes who were in alliance with Jabin, looking for a safe place. And he finds there Jael, and he comes to this tent. And he receives some very mixed hospitality in the tent, doesn't he? In you come, I want water, I want to give you more than that. We all know that people sleep better when they've had a good meal. And a good meal he receives, falls deeply asleep, and gets the tent peg through the head treatment. But is Jael the hero of the story? I think it's absolutely fascinating. Nothing is said of her motivation. Why does she do this? We have no idea. But isn't it striking, way back in the narrative, we know that God is setting this up. She just delivers on this. I don't think these chapters set her up as the hero. Much rather they praise and bless her for getting rid of this terrible enemy of God's people. So who is the hero of the story? Well, you'll have spotted it long since. There is a fourth character who is pretty much everywhere in the story. Chapter 4, verse 6 and 7 again. The Lord, the God of Israel, commands you. Verse 7, I will lure Sisera. They go into battle, verse 14, go. This is the day the Lord has given Sisera into your hands. Has not the Lord gone ahead of you? Verse 15, at Barak's advance, the Lord routed Sisera. The Lord routed Sisera. It's very clear. And Sisera abandoned his chariot and fled on foot. Worth thinking about, how did the Lord deal with Sisera? And then look at the end of the story, verse 23 of chapter 4. On that day, Deborah subdued Jabin. On that day, Barak subdued Jabin. On that day, God subdued Jabin. And as we go through the song, if you want to cast your eye over that, verse 3, they praise the Lord. Verse 4, O Lord, when you went out from Seir, when you marched on the land of Edom, the earth shook and the heavens poured, the clouds poured down water. I wonder actually whether there isn't here in the song a comment on what happened in the battle. It is striking to see that they are near a river. And I wonder here whether it wasn't the way that God used. It's just massive storm and the flood. To actually, that's the one thing chariots can't cope with, is it? Is it's muddy ground and water. And I think this is what Deborah sees. Look, the Lord has given them into your hand. She can see the chariots being washed out and ruined. Look, the Lord has just done it. And all the way through this song, it's really just praising God. God gives the victories. That is, I think, one of the huge emphases of these chapters. Barak doesn't step up as he should have done. He lacks confidence. But in the end, God does what he's planned to do in destroying Rabin and Sisera. God is the hero of this story. Despite the hesitancy of his leader, despite the weakness of his people, God wins the battle. And that is such an important lesson to learn, isn't it? And to be reminded of again. It is so easy to make the Christian life being about me and centering in on ourselves. But who is the hero of the Bible? Who is the hero of salvation? It is God himself. It is his plan, his son, his salvation, that he wins for us and in which he gives us by grace. This is his victory. And I think again what we're seeing in Judges is how foolish Israel are. We have this wonderful song of what happens when God acts. We go on into 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Why? Why won't Israel submit to this God and love him? Such is his power. Such is his ability to save. Why do you keep abandoning him, given that he rules and he has given such a great victory? So, the hero of the story. But we shouldn't stop there when we look at these chapters. Yes, God is the hero, but it invites us, I think, to respond to him. And these chapters teach us how we should respond to his great victory, to the fact that he wins for us such a great victory. Of course, as Christians, that is a victory that is won in the Lord Jesus Christ. How we should respond to that. Well, I want to suggest two things. The first is that we trust him and that we are to be confident in him. And I think we see that with Deborah, don't we? She is very confident. She knows that the Lord is going to do it. She gives the word to Barak, and then look down at 14 of chapter 4 again. Go, this is the day the Lord has given Sisera into your hands. Has not the Lord gone ahead of you? Go. She is totally confident that the Lord can deliver on what he has promised. Totally confident. That's an important lesson for us, isn't it? Can he save you, though you are a wretched sinner? Yes, he is able to do so, and you can be confident in his salvation. He's promised to do it. He has done it. He will do it. Can you be confident in your suffering that God will work to the good in all things? Yes, you can be confident. Can we be confident in the gospel? The good news of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Will that gospel in the end deliver those chosen for salvation? Yes. We can be utterly confident in our God to deliver on the salvation that he has promised. Deborah shows confidence. But I just want to go and park in a lay-by for a few moments as we go through this chapter and just think about Deborah as a person and as someone who served God in Israel at this time. You may be familiar with the debates that are surrounded about women's ministry and things like that, and Deborah often gets pulled in to the debate and cited as an example. Please notice a few things about her. Firstly, of course, she is, as it were, only half a judge. She judges. She's doing some of that kind of helping with disputes, but she does not lead Israel into battle. That is Barak. And it is very striking when the Barak kind of has cold feet and says, I must go with you. She doesn't belittle him. She says, okay, I'll come. And she helps. She never usurps the position. She never says, give me that sword, I'll do a better job and get going. She never usurps her position of authority there within Israel and her role. There's a humility about her. In fact, I think one of the most striking things about her, I think she is raised up to encourage others. She is there to encourage Barak. But notice as well, she's a wise woman. She's able to help with these disputes. She's a peacemaking woman. She knows the word of the Lord. She speaks God's word. And she is a great encourager. Not usurping authority, but being greatly used by God for the good of his people. I'm grateful that in Spicer Street, we have many, as it were, mothers in Israel, as Deborah was, and churches need them. A great spiritual presence in the people of God. So just coming back onto the main highway, as it were, God's great victory, we are called to trust him. And second aspect I want to draw out from here is we are called to serve him wholeheartedly. We are called, in fact, to step up. There is a theme running right through this chapter. We have the godly woman of Deborah and the nervous man, Barak. We have the killing in the end being done with Jael, by Jael. There's a question that kind of hangs over this chapter. Where were the men? Where were they? There is, I think, in this chapter for us all, the call to step up. Let me just show you that here in these verses. You see, Barak himself makes us slightly nervous. Why didn't he do it? And you kind of the theme is introduced. But it's there right through the song. Look at chapter 5, verse 2 again. When the princes in Israel take the lead, or when the leaders in Israel take the lead, when the people willingly offer themselves, praise the Lord. We get exactly the same thought in verse 9. My heart, says Deborah, again we see her as an encourager. My heart is with Israel's princes, with the willing volunteers among the people. Praise the Lord. You see, the victory was the Lord's. But the people were called to offer themselves willingly in the service of that victory in God's cause. God was to give the victory, the leaders were to lead, and the people were to offer themselves willingly in that great victory. Barak was slow. And it's fascinating to see the way the song has some very kind of negative words for those who didn't join in, who did not, in the words of verses 2 and 9, offer themselves willingly to the cause. Look at verse 15 for a moment. The princes of Issachar were with Deborah. Yes, Issachar was with Barak. That's great, isn't it? Rushing after him into the valley. They offered themselves. They came charging. But 15b. In the districts of Reuben, there was much searching of heart. Why did you stay amongst the campfires to hear the whistling of the flocks? In the districts of Reuben, there was much searching of heart. Reuben, you see, spent time thinking about it, the tribe. In fact, I suspect they had lots and lots of committee meetings to discuss the crisis with Sisera. While the Issachar guys were charging, they were wringing out their hearts, having committee meetings amongst the sheep. Because after all, it was lambing season and we can't afford to be any poorer than we are. And, you know, things are really difficult. On the verses go, 17. Gilead stayed beyond the Jordan. Oh, it's too far, too difficult, too big a river. And Dan, why did he linger by the ships? Well, of course, there's business to be done, isn't there? The ship's coming in. Trade. More, you know, we've got to get this sorted out before we get involved in this war. Can you see how pleased Deborah and Barak are with those who have offered themselves willingly to the fight, and how they point to those who wouldn't join in, who just did what they wanted? And by the way, and of course, all under the leaders. The leaders were to lead, and the people were to offer themselves as the Lord gave the victory. There's a word to lead, isn't there? They are to lead. In fact, in the end, of course, Judges becomes, the whole of Israel just becomes an absolute mess because the people, the leaders fail to lead and the people refuse to step up. So by the end of Judges, everyone does as they see fit. The whole of Israel just becomes a free-for-all. I do what I want. Take no notice of the leaders. I'll just live my own life here. Thank you very much. And we see this already in chapter 5 breaking down. God gives the victories, the leaders lead, and the people give themselves willingly. So the leaders are to lead. By the way, if there's no agenda there, it is a joy to serve at a church where leaders are allowed to lead. That's healthy for, it seems to me, the biblical pattern. There's a word to all believers. Are you willing? Are you willing to offer yourselves willingly to the cause of Christ? You see, I think it comes down to this. God will achieve his purposes for his world, won't he? Am I right there? That theologically right? God in the end will call his elect. Am I right? The people who have been given by the Father to the Son will be collected by the Son. We cannot possibly get to the end of history and God goes, oh no, it's been blown. My great plan has been foiled. It couldn't possibly be, could it? His plan will be worked out. The only question is, who and how he will use people. Who will he use? How will he use us? And the question comes for us, will he use us? Will he use us? And we see here and get some indication of who he uses in that process. He invites his people to work for him, to his glory, to his great project. Who does he use? Those who give themselves willingly to him. Those who give themselves willingly to him. Who give everything to him. Who make themselves completely available to him. Whose passion is to do what he wants them to do. Who are driven by desire that says, yeah, Lord, take everything. I offer myself to you willingly. It's particularly a word, I think, to the men, but it's a word to us all. That ability and willingness to step up and give myself to him. The teenagers, the 20s and 30s, will you give yourself wholly to him and to his cause? Is the advance of the gospel, the glory and the honor of the name Lord Jesus Christ, your concern? Do you say, that's what I want to see Christ made known, the gospel advance, the church built up? Do you give yourself, I offer myself willingly? Or is it committee meetings, sheep and ships? How do you use your time? Do you fritter your time? I can say to all the church, it's very interesting. One of the things, the most powerful things we can do together for the cause of Christ is pray together. How about joining us at a prayer meeting? What more central, important thing do we do together than pray together? Offer yourselves willingly to pray with God's people. Those in midlife and that great busy period of life, young kids, are you offering yourselves willingly? Are you saying, what are my priorities here? Fathers, are you stepping up and saying, I'm going to take responsibility for teach the kids God's words. I'm going to take the initiative to pray with my wife. Where you're married to a believer. In the workplace, each day a chance to serve Jesus Christ, to live for integrity for him, to pray for opportunities, offering yourself. Maybe life has not turned out as you'd hoped, and there's heartbreak. But can I invite you nonetheless, wherever stage of life you are, to offer yourselves willingly? The woman in Mark 14 who broke the jars on Jesus was chastised by the disciples, but Jesus was delighted. And those wonderful words, she did what she could. That's all Christ asks of you, that you offer yourself willingly and do what you can. We don't believe in retirement at Spicer Street. Retirement is about becoming more available and getting paid less. Use it. Use it wisely. Use it well for the sake of the gospel. It's been so wonderful to see the way that as we seek to plant a church in Hemel, people have just been prepared to step up, to offer themselves willingly. Leaving St. Albans and moving to Hemel. I know it's a lovely place, but well done. Offering yourselves up willingly for the work. Whilst others will be on committees, looking after the sheep and waiting for the ship. So throw yourself into that's great. So can you see the call of this word? The call is to see that God gives the victory. That God is sovereign. That God can use anyone who uses jail to bring about his great purposes. which of course are supremely seen in the Lord Jesus Christ, where he wins that wonderful salvation for his people. To him goes the glory. But the wonderful thing is he invites us in to trust him, to have confidence in him, and to offer ourselves in his service in that victory, in that great plan. Should we take a couple of moments and in our hearts to offer ourselves to him? Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you that you win the great victory, that you are the hero, that your Son is the hero, that you are in the end the one who delivers Israel and delivers us. We thank you in the Lord Jesus Christ. We had the perfect leader who himself was perfectly willing and served you wholeheartedly and did the task that you had given him to do. We recognize that history and the Bible is your story. It is your salvation. And by grace we partake in that salvation. But in response to that, and as we hear this chapter, we hear the call to offer ourselves willingly in what might be a very costly fight. Not the fight of the swords, but the fight of the word and of prayer, of service, of rejection for the sake of the gospel. And so we commit our lives to you, whatever stage of life we are at. In our circumstances, Lord, we want to be those that you have made us to be. Help us to do what you would have us do, and help us to be what you would have us be, wherever you have called us. Help us to have the mindset of service and of action for you. And we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. 676. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. Great things he has done. 676.
Thank you.
Now to him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ, our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen.